Praise the Lord. Maybe some people think I and Brother Rus retired. But don't worry. We all want to share in the preaching, in the blessing, and what God is doing in our midst through His Word and through His Spirit. But I can remember very well when I started my ministry at the age of 17, 18, I was always happy when I was allowed to say something. And that's how I would like to do it to my brothers, as it was done to me at that time, that there's room for all of us. And I still remember a very mighty meeting that took place in Kassel many years ago. It was my first time in such a large conference. I was called to speak, and God gave much grace. I wish the same thing could happen here today that happened then. The Spirit of God literally fell on the whole assembly. In those days, you didn't need a microphone. The platform was quite big. One was so filled, it went back and forth, and the voice was with us. We preached with all our might and conviction as best we could. And before I knew it, two old sisters in the middle of the sermon started singing in other tongues. And I didn't know what to do. I just kept preaching even more mightily. I thought, this can only be right. I was at that moment a little surprised by this. And before I knew it, the fire had spread. And it was only a few minutes that the whole congregation was singing in the Spirit. We raised our hands and praised God. If we can come back to the simplicity of faith and proclamation, then God will reveal Himself, and He can best use the young brothers for this. In the meantime, I took on the teaching ministry, and it overcame me. And that first zeal, the first love, all that one had in the beginning. And I can still remember today, these two old aunties, they came to me and wanted to tell me a few things, and also told me about what God was planning in my life and in His ministry that was to happen in the future. We are very grateful to God for many a memory we have of the precious blessings, of the hours spent in the presence of God, proclaiming His Word. I don't know if I were to count all the kilometers I traveled by bike to preach the Word of God more than 20 years ago, how many thousands of kilometers that would add up to, I don't know. Very often, actually this doesn't fit here, but it reminds me of my former time, and I'm very grateful to God. I just hope that some more will be called out with a fire of the Spirit in their heart, through whom God can bless us in a mighty way. After a word has been read from Psalm 95, probably, and now a second word, and we have all heard that the Lord cares for us, that He is concerned about us, and the thought of the flock and the shepherd has been expressed in the word, in prayer, and that the Lord wants to show Himself, that we should be His witnesses. I had to think of a word from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 56, and also from Ezekiel 34. I would like to read first from Isaiah 56, from verse 10. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way. Everyone for his gain from his quarter. Maybe up to here. I don't know if I have ever read this word of God in a meeting. And it seems strange to all of us to read such words in the Holy Scripture. But the prophets simply had to say what God had to say. And they clearly recognized what God wanted to say by means of earthly examples that everyone could grasp very well. Here are two things that are actually contradictory. On the one hand, these watchmen are shepherds, and on the other hand, they are ravenous dogs. I don't know what they have in common. But I do know that God is talking about shepherds who are not in His will. Shepherds who have not understood what the Good Shepherd has prepared in terms of pasture, of shepherds who feed themselves, who go their own ways, and who have not recognized the ways of God at all. It is said here, they are all dumb dogs. You all know, even a dog can be useful if it barks. But if it does not bark, when danger comes, then even the dog is useless. A shepherd watches. He is attentive. But here it is said that shepherds are dumb dogs who cannot bark. In other words, they are good for nothing at all. They are good for nothing because they neither prevent harm nor bark when danger comes. Nor do they feed the people of God. They go their own way. And it says here, yes, these are all words that can hardly be pronounced like that. I don't know if the prophets didn't sometimes have trouble getting it all across their lips the way we read it here in the Holy Scripture. But the bad thing is, the watchmen of my people are blind. So there are many who belong to the people of God, who are there where watchmen are blind and dumb, where they have no knowledge of what the Good Shepherd has prepared for His people. And that is why it is necessary to call out now into all the world that the Lord has set out to feed His sheep Himself and to prepare shepherds for them according to His heart. We find the parallel to this in the prophet Ezekiel 34, a word we all know very well. It says here, from verse 2, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? And then it lists all that they have done. But further on it says, from verse 8, As I live, saith the Lord God, Surely, because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves, and fade not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. These are also quite serious words that we can all understand very well. The Lord God intended that His servants should be as shepherds among His people, that they should give the right food, the right word in due season. But the Lord looks at His people, and He sees what has not happened as He had planned. And in the end, He reclaims His sheep, and He puts an end to the shepherding of these shepherds who have been feeding themselves. And as we read on here, this is a glorious promise that God has given us by grace. From verse 11 it says, For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. Is that not the condition in which we all find ourselves at this time? We have been here, we have been there. Shepherds have been grazing themselves. They have not understood that the Lord God, as the Good Shepherd, wanted to lead His sheep to fresh, green pasture at this time. They laid the sheep where everything had long since been grazed, where nothing was left, where the water was no longer fresh. But the Lord made provision to lead His sheep to green pasture, to bring them to fresh water, so that their souls would revive, so that they would take new courage, so that they could experience God's grace anew and see what God had prepared for them. As long as we were everywhere where shepherds took care of themselves, we saw nothing of the green pasture. We heard nothing of the fresh water, but since the day from which the Lord took care of us, everything has become completely different. We have recognized what He has prepared for us by grace. For He says, Ye are the flock of my hand, ye are the sheep that I feed. We have all heard that here today in Psalm 95, in the opening word. And such people who belong to the flock of the Lord, they come before His face with praise and thanksgiving, because they know that God has done great things for them. They are in green pastures, they are brought to the fresh waters, and He waters us with delight as with a river. That is quite a glorious word here. We see the past condition, and we see the situation as it is now created by God. Once in the dry land, withered and starved ourselves spiritually, so that we were barely kept alive. But since the Lord has led us to the right pasture, our condition has improved. After all, you can tell everything by the pasture. An example with a cattle will always show exactly where these cattle have grazed. Of course, if you send them where there is nothing left to graze, you will notice it on their bodies. And every farmer knows that the efficiency of a real farmer is measured by how his cattle look. Do you all know that? I'm a farmer's son. I know that very well. You can see that right away. Everybody knew when he came to the farm and the horse's ribs were showing. That's a farmer. Him you can... Oh my. Nobody had to worry about that farmer. He had his own worries. But when you came to a farm where things were all beautiful, yes, that was a joy. That was a joy. And that's how it is here in the spiritual. If the sheep are starving and can hardly move forward, that's because of the shepherds. But if the sheep are beautiful, then the Lord has fed them. Then he has taken care of them and has given them fresh pasture and fresh water by grace. This word in the prophet Ezekiel 34 is quite a glorious word. Verse 15 says, I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. I will protect the fat and the strong. I will feed them as is right. Isn't that a glorious word? I will feed them as is right. And it is only right with the Lord if we may be in the best pasture. Actually, that's the way it is in agriculture. If you let the cattle graze where everything is already grazed, then it's not a good thing. You only do that when you know it won't be seen. I know a bit about it. But if someone is grazing properly, then he has to go with the sheep and the cattle where there is pasture, not where it has already been grazed. And if you read on here, in the prophet Ezekiel, then you will know what he means by the saying, I will feed you as it is right. Read on with me from verse 17. And as for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord God, I will now judge between the sheep and between the rams and the he-goats. Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture? Must ye tread down with your feet the rest of your pastures? Do you see what this is about? It is about us grazing ourselves. But what is left to be grazed, we are not to trample on with our feet, but wait until the time has come for us to be taken to this pasture. A real farmer, he has certain things fenced off for certain times. This is that pasture, then comes that one. You know exactly what is next. So the Lord also knew with his people what would come next. And no one who has grazed before has the right to trample on the remaining pasture land later. He that will eat, let him eat. But the grass, the pasture, the food, the meat is not to be trodden down, but to be eaten. But here it has been said, is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture, why do you tread down with your feet the rest of your pastures? It's like sometimes people are part of God's people, but they don't have spiritual discernment. And they look back and say, we had a nice pasture, we ate, and it had just been mentioned, even in Brother Branham's ministry, when the evangelistic ministry was, and the Lord led his sheep into a glorious pasture, they all rejoiced, ate, and drank. Then, when God went on, many stopped, and instead of going on to take new pasture and food, they trampled on what God continued to do. Instead of having a share, instead of eating and being filled and rejoicing in the Lord, they trampled on the rest of the pasture. And when it went further, some again stopped and trampled down what had become precious and valuable to others. Brothers and sisters, we do not let others trample on what God gives us. Where He feeds us, let us rejoice and give thanks to the Lord and not worry about what other people want to do. Here it says, must ye tread down the rest of the pasture with your feet? You have clear water to drink. Must you muddy the rest of the water by trampling it with your feet? This is what the prophet has to say to the people of God in this day and age. You have drunk water. Why do you want to stir up the rest? You know what it means. In the old days, when the cattle were brought to the pool to drink, you had to be careful, or they would go in and stir up all the water with their feet by going in and out, so that the rest could not drink. Now applied to the spiritual, many have had clear water to drink during the time of the evangelistic ministry. We have seen others drink during the doctrinal ministry, others during the prophetic revelation of the precious mysteries of God. But all those who had drunk and were not ready to go on, but stayed in the water and rooted around, thinking that was all we had to drink, except here there's nothing more. But God has seen to it that we too have fresh pasture and clear water to drink at this time. Let others rummage in it. It is not our business. A river goes out from the throne of God, and no one can influence this river. It flows crystal clear even today for all who continue with God, who are led by the Holy Spirit, who do not stop to stir up, but come to drink. God made people out of us according to His heart and according to His will. We do not look at what others do. We look at what the Lord has prepared for us by grace in this time. Then it says here in verse 20, therefore, thus saith the Lord God unto them, behold, I will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle. because ye have thrust with side and with shoulder and pushed all the diseased with your horns, till ye have scattered them abroad. Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between one sheep and another. Our God has seen all that has gone on here on earth. He has seen all those who have pretended to be shepherds. He has seen his sheep and has had mercy on them anew, has brought us together from east and west, from south and north, to let us know in this time, I am your shepherd. You are the sheep of my pasture and the flock of my hand. I care for you. I have sought that which was lost. I have gathered that which was scattered. I have healed that which was sick. I have bound up that which was wounded. Lest any man should boast, at the end of days, the praise and glory must be to the living God alone. Lest any man should say, I have gone about the country helping the sheep of God. Forget all that. Our God goes through all the lands. He comes to the aid of his people. He leads out where we cannot go at all. And his sheep, as we read in the New Testament, hear his voice. He leads them on the right road for the sake of his holy name. I will have mercy on my sheep. I will take care of them. I will go after them. I will heal them. I will lead them where there is fresh pasture and fresh living water. Now it must be spiritually seen on us that we are not grazing where pasture has long since been grazed, but that we are in the midst of a fat pasture of our God, so that he can reveal himself to us anew and pour out his blessings upon us. It is not what we as humans can do. It is what God has set out to do. And as certainly as the Lord is leading Israel back and will one day be their shepherd, and his servant David, as it is later written here, so certainly is he the shepherd of the New Testament church, for it is for them that he laid down his life. He says, the hireling flees, comparable to the text we read from the prophet Isaiah. But the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He laid down his life for us. Not that we should feed where others have trodden down, where they have grazed away, but where there is fresh pasture, which he has prepared for us in this time. And all whom the Lord leads, he leads to fresh water. He leads to green pastures. All those who have stood still, they graze on a pasture that has been grazed. And that is of no use to anyone. If we are there, what others have grazed, that will be of no use to any of us. We have to be where we can satisfy our spiritual hunger. And that doesn't mean looking back and saying, 10, 20 years ago, we were in a beautiful pasture. You can't do that. If you were to say to the cattle in the stable, can you understand, 10 years ago was a beautiful pasture for you. They wouldn't care about that at all. They would open their mouths and make noise and say, "We live today, not 10 years ago. We live today. Give us what satisfies our hunger and thirst today." We are grateful to God for all the pastures that have been. We have grazed on them. Is it true or not? Whether that's 20 years back, or 15, or 10, or 5, or 1 year, we have found the Lord has always prepared something for us, what others have not stirred up, what others have not trodden down, what others have not eaten away, that the Lord prepared for us in this time. And if the time were to last any longer, do not think that God would be embarrassed and would have to ask one of us to be of help to Him. Our God has always helped His people, and He will help us until the end, and no one will need to hunger or thirst, but we feast on the abundant goods of our God. The Lord wants us to know, through these practical examples, which He has taken from the natural world, what He has set out to do in these last days. He, the shepherd, has laid down His life for the sheep. At the end of time, He claims them from the hand of the shepherds who feed themselves. He goes after the lost. He leaves 99 to find the one. And when He finds it, there is great joy. Perhaps there is still someone here tonight who has to consecrate his life to the Lord, who does not yet belong to the Lord's sheep, not yet to the flock of His hand. Tonight, the Good Shepherd calls us, "Come unto Me, and you shall have enough to eat. Let your soul feast on fat food. Then you shall praise the name of the Lord your God, who has shown Himself glorious and wonderful in us." The Lord God has caused us to store up much food from which we feast, and we have seen it go deeper and deeper into the mysteries of God. And we see the way of our Lord with His church clearer and clearer. He is the Good Shepherd. He has called us out from everywhere we have been pushed and misunderstood, despised and misjudged, because we have hungered and thirsted for what God has prepared for His people in this time. We did not leave our denomination because we did not like it there. I always liked it. The devotion was something wonderful. But then the day came when I was not only interested in the devotion, the day came when there was a hunger and a thirst in my soul, and this devotion could not quench my hunger and my thirst. And then it went on. I didn't leave the Baptist church because I didn't like it there. Everything was fine there. There was nothing to complain about. But the day came when all the beautiful choirs and all the framing and whatnot no longer satisfied my spiritual hunger. And God's way went on, so we could all bear witness one by one. Many of us who then came to the full gospel churches, that was a glorious time. As long as we were led to fresh pasture, all was well, and we rejoiced in our God. But when the field was grazed, then some began to bump into each other, and there were some things that were no longer right, and we realized that there was nothing left to get, and there was a new hunger and a new desire in our hearts. Suddenly, we heard that the Lord had prepared something new, hence the hunger in our heart. And so it went on and on in Brother Branham's ministry. And God does not stand still. Stand still is decline. Our God does not stand still, and he does not go backwards. Our God goes forward with his people, and he says to us, I have prepared all things for you until you come from believing unto seeing to the last moment of your journey. He will see to it that everyone also comes to his right. Isn't that something wonderful? We have nothing against anyone. We could embrace everyone and say, come and see what the Lord has prepared for us. Don't just think of what was many years ago. Today, the Lord has given us this, which is for our time. All the true sheep of the Good Shepherd will hunger and thirst for that which he has prepared for them, not the pastures of men, but that which he has prepared for us by grace. Let us take to ourselves in this time. Neither we will allow, nor God, to stir up and tread down things for us. For us, what the Lord has prepared is holy. And we too stand on holy ground and know that the Lord leads his people rightly for his name's sake until we shall see him face to face. Thanks be to him that at all times he has prepared something, satisfied the hunger of his people and quenched their thirst. And thanks be to him that even in this time he has not failed to be the Good Shepherd and to address us as the flock of his hand. And if you want to read it, it just comes to me now that this text or wording is almost in one of the past prophecies that the Lord addressed us as his people and as the flock of his hand, and he feeds us. We have recognized that. Here it is not man at work. Here it is God at work. This is not about anything. This is about the cause of God. And the Lord himself watches over us and helps us all by grace. Praise be to his holy name. Amen. Let us stand and pray. We come together before your holy face, O God. No one needs to fear that we go beyond the mark. We remain within your boundaries, O God, and are confident, for we know that you have taken care of your people. You yourself feed the flock that belongs to you. You guide us on the right way for your name's sake. We thank you, faithful Master, and ask you to have your way with us. Glorify thy name. Your call has gone out to us. Your voice we have heard. You have taken care of us. You sought us out, Lord, where no man would have found us. There you went after us and led us out and helped us in the day of salvation. And you gave us light in the evening time, so that at the midnight hour we know where we are at. Lord, we praise you and we worship you. Glorious and wonderful, you have shown yourself to your people in the past. You are glorious now. We thank you for it. And we praise your glorious name. Amen.